All right, everyone. Well, we started talking about the Christmas season, and what God put on our heart this season is to go from the ordinary to the extraordinary. We were meeting a few characters in the story, in the birth story, or in the Christmas story, that just lived a very ordinary life. And some of them that we will see today that lived actually a little bit less than ordinary. Last week we talked about Zechariah, who was an ordinary minister, ordinary priest, going about his business, hurting because not having a child. Him and his wife are righteous, good people, but that doesn't mean that they get everything they want. It means that God will give them his will, and it's usually much better than anything they could have thought. Just going to do his business, going to the ministry, going to the temple, offering and all of that. And all of a sudden, he gets a visitation from God. He gets a revelation, and God tells him that he's having this boy. This boy is his greatness is what he is going to do. He's going to prepare the way for the Messiah, which means that the Messiah is coming. Which means that Jesus is coming. And that's what we're celebrating, right? That's what we're doing today. You know, a lot of us work and minister and help and do all of these things. All of these things are great, but what's greater about them is that they're all in the name of Christ. You know, it's nice to be kind. It's nice to help. It's nice to give an encouraging word. That's all great, but that doesn't guarantee anything. But when you add Christ to it, this is when it changes everything around. This is when it makes that season different. Today, we're going to talk about another character who is a very important character in this story, who we will see right now. You know, we talked about Mary before, and we talked about Joseph, and when we talked about Mary, you know, a lot of us look at the Christmas story from now, 2,000 years later. We know it was Jesus. We know that he did miracles. We know all the greatness about him. But when the revelation came to her, this came as a revelation, but other people could look at it as a death sentence because she is all of a sudden pregnant before she got married. She was betrothed, or she was promised, or she was kind of engaged to this man, and all of a sudden she is, you know, pregnant. Not in this culture, not at this time. Things didn't happen like that, you know. But so we talked about that her first Christmas was not as exciting as ours. She didn't have lights, she didn't have a snow machine, she didn't have gifts. No, she was waiting for her death sentence, you know. But God appeared to Joseph, gave him grace, gave him faith to wait for her. So we talked about that about 2 years ago. Today, we're gonna talk about the life of Mary before Jesus, you know. And I know for a fact it will touch your heart because it really did touch my heart. You know, as we go through the story right now, you will see that she was living a very, very, very humble life. And God came and changed her life around. Before the end of this meeting, I know that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to every single one of us that out of our ordinary life, out of that very simple life we're living, God can come, change everything around, that He will do great and amazing things that we never thought of before. Okay, remember the theme of this season is that God is going to turn the ordinary to extraordinary.
So let's just take a little time and just read a few verses as the
Right.
word of the Lord
Sure.
comes to Mary. And we're in the book of Luke, chapter one,
Yeah.
and we're going to start in verse 26. I'll give you a second to get there. Okay, and we're going to read through verse 38, and then we're just going to go through a couple of things that are really very important for us to recognize as we learn about Mary's very ordinary life that led to an extraordinary transformation. Okay, in verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to the town of Galilee called Nazareth, to the virgin pledged in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel appeared to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So the angel told her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How can this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Look, even Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age, and she, who was called barren, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it happen to me according to your word. Then the angel left her. It's interesting in the beginning here, we kind of hear a description of Mary. And if you notice in the description, it kind of says all the things about her before ever saying her name. You know, it says we hear that the angel was in Nazareth, went to a virgin who was pledged in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was of the house of David. Like all the and oh, by the way, her name is Mary. It's just the most ordinary and humble picture of this young woman. It wasn't Mary the virgin, it was a virgin whose name happens to be Mary. Because primary here, and this kind of goes back to just all the prophecies of a virgin birth, but primary here is that it was very important that there wasn't a father associated. Sorry, I'm not sure why it's doing that. That there was not a father associated with the birth, right? That was very important. So it had to be because it had to be made clear that this is part of the Trinity of Father God. And so if there was a father involved in this birth story, it would be very difficult for the prophecies to be fulfilled. So the virgin piece was very important. And Mary was pretty ordinary in that she was a young teenage girl who was a virgin in this society. That's not an extraordinary thing, okay? And there were so many other issues that also had to be checked off. The house of David, that's really important because that was another prophetic thing that Jesus would come from the lineage of David, right? From the generationally down, we can look and see the lineage of David. That was a very important piece. So these are all very important things. And yes, Mary's part of this story is about to become extraordinary, but for the moment, it's pretty run of the mill. It's pretty average and everyday. Mary was a virgin who was going to get married to this guy named Joseph, who happened to be from the house of David.
Doesn't.
The other thing here is that Mary is that there's really some importance to Mary being like a humble young teenage girl who really didn't know much because it would have been difficult for somebody who was bringing a lot to the game if they were like super successful, incredibly ambitious, and like wonderful and extraordinary already, and then to have this miraculous birth take place, you know, it's very possible that ego would get in the way, right? It's very possible that the main point of the story would get lost in that sort of ambition. And so it was really important that Mary was from this humble place. Nazareth is referred to here very early on. I mean, Nazareth is kind of less than an ordinary city. Even today, it's one of the smallest cities in the world, and it was true back then. The population of Nazareth was likely around 300 people. I mean, just try to wrap your mind around how small that is. I believe there are 300 people in three blocks surrounding us easily, right? I mean, we live in a very big city, and that is not a very significant number. This is a very small town, and a small town that's at a base of a hill. And because of the way the water flows and because of the positioning of the town, it really doesn't give much to agriculture and farming. It's really hard. I mean, there was livestock there, and there were probably like olive trees and things like that there. But in terms of like a flourishing agriculture in that spot of Nazareth, there was not much, which probably is the reason why it wasn't very heavily populated, right? So we're talking about a super humble town, a super humble place that Jesus came out of. I mean, really, more than you and I can possibly imagine. This was not a place that was on the map. Jesus put this place on the map, okay? This was not a city that anybody would have known or recognized or even thought of. And we want you to think of that as maybe you're thinking of your own life, maybe you're thinking of your own job or your own family or your own ministry or your own situation in life, that it just seems like it doesn't carry very much weight, or it just seems like it's not maybe as significant as others around it. And really, Christ came out of this place. I mean, can you imagine? It is something beyond recognition, and it's so encouraging to me and so encouraging to us as we were thinking about this. Like, what a beautiful thing. Here we are. We think about, the revival's gonna come out of the biggest mega church ever, and it must, and look what's going on here. And God bless all of those places and all of those things. But that does not mean that something extraordinary that God wants to do can't come out of a pretty humble church like Arise, right? Or a pretty humble community like Norwalk. It is so w well within God's story that he uses the very, very ordinary.
And it tells us here that she was kind of an engaged or to Joseph. And usually back in that time, the engagement time usually it took about a year. But during that year, the bride would be so busy preparing for her wedding day, and for her marriage, doing things, preparing things, all of that stuff. So Mary had this very ordinary life, living in a no-name city, doing in a no-name region, in a very low economically region, in an occupied country. If you recall, the country was occupied by the Romans. It was under the control of the Romans. When this chapter starts, it says during the kingdom of Herod. Even though it's the land of Israel, it's the promised land, but it's under the authority of Herod. So things here are very, very tough, but Mary is doing what she can do, what she is supposed to do. She's doing her thing, she's living her life, she's engaged, and she's engaged to this man. His name is Joseph from the house of David. And if anyone would look at this and they were like, oh, she's definitely marrying up, she is definitely, winning because he's from house of David. No, regardless of how bad the situation is, but the house of David, the name the house of David carried a lot of weight just being related to the house of David. Now she is not going to be marrying into the house of David. She is going to have in her tummy the God of David himself. She is going to something is going to change in her life. So hopefully we don't want to spend too much time on this, but hopefully you got the point. And we were able to draw a picture of how ordinary or even less than ordinary this picture was. You know, I come from a very, very small town that's not on the map until just recently they put it on the map. And the day they put it on the map, I was so excited. So excited that I can go through Google Earth and find like where my city is. Can't get too far, but the place I was born, it was not on the map. Like I found the place where I grew up, you know, but the place where I was born is still not, it still did not even make it on Google Earth, believe it or not. It doesn't exist, you know. It is so hidden. And there is something that happens when you are out of these places that you don't expect much. When you are born and raised in these places, you really don't expect much. Life there is so quiet, so settled. Like, this is it. This is life. It's not going to get any more exciting than this. This is the maximum that we're going to have. This is the maximum that we're going to live. There is not much to do beyond this. And God comes and just changes everything around. The angel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Remember again, during that time, the country, the whole country was under the occupation or under the control of the Romans. To go around, you know, spreading cheers, saying greetings or peace on you or peace with you, what peace? What peace are you talking about? Imagine if you are in the middle of Gaza right now with all the fighting, or you know, or in the middle of Israel and your children were kidnapped or any of that stuff, and you're gathering to spread cheers and say peace and all. No, there is a lot of agony during this time. There is a lot of pain, and Mary is receiving this message of greetings and you who are highly favored. And I'm like, me? Are you talking to me, highly favored? Do you see where we live? Do you see where we're from? Do you see what we're going through? Do you see who I am? I am nobody, and you're calling me highly favored? That's the word of God to Mary. That's the word of God to all of you. Peace be with you. I know there's a lot of struggles in your head, in your mind right now. I know there's a lot of pain. I know that there are things that are keeping you up at night, that the word peace does not fit any of the picture that you're seeing right now. The words greetings, the words of just be of good cheer or be encouraged or it's okay, everything is fine, smile. That doesn't fit the day-to-day life we're living. But the angel of God is coming with this message to all of us today. God's view of us, most of the time, doesn't fit any of what we see about ourselves. God could be calling, greeting you and saying, you know, "Hey, how's it going, you great man of war, great man of valor?" And I'm like, who are you talking to? Talking to me? I am a nobody. I am a nobody and my family is a nobody. You know, and you're calling me a great, mighty warrior? Doesn't fit. Mary is receiving this message. She's receiving this greeting. And I hope and I pray, as I read this morning at 4:30 a.m., while I was about to work out, as I told you, this is the best time for me to receive revelations. It is by far the best time for me to receive revelations. And I'm like, whoa, this is great. This is great. God is coming to her in this no-name place, in this no-name region, in this horrible state, and he's giving her these great words of encouragement. I need to share that with someone today. And who do I have to share with? Wednesday night people. You know, you need to hear this message. You need to hear the words of peace to your mind, to your heart, to your thoughts, to your anxiety. You need to hear these words that things are okay. Things are fine. It's actually more than fine because you are highly favored. God looks at you today with a big smile because he loves you so very much. Because God is also with you. He is here with you. He is talking to you. He was talking to you before the meeting. He will continue talking to you after the meeting. You, because you are highly favored and God is with you. You're about to find out today a message, a whole new message about who God is, but also the angel is trying to introduce Mary to who God is, but also to introduce Mary to Mary. Not the Mary she knows, but the Mary that God knows. I pray that before the end of the meeting today, God will introduce himself to you and will introduce you to you from where he is seeing you. Because he is seeing you something different, completely different than what you're seeing in yourself today. So, what is her reaction to that? She was greatly troubled. And you know what? This is wonderful. This is wonderful. Because when you're hearing this message right now, there is trouble in your heart. There is trouble in your mind. And that's good. That's good. That means something was stirred. Something was turned upside down. It's still not settled yet, which is fine. It's okay. But that means something came as a shock to your system. Something came out of the ordinary. You're hearing that you're a nobody. You're hearing that you're not going anywhere. You're hearing that life is not going to get any better. You're hearing all of this. And here, all of a sudden, this guy with an accent who woke up at 4:30 and wanted to take it out on you, telling you all these things. That's good. That's a good shock to your system. Just like it was a good shock to her system. Like, what are you talking about? What are these words that you are saying to me? None of this makes sense. Mary was terrified. You know, just like the baby eagles are terrified the first time the mama eagles take them on a flight. She takes them on a flight. They think that they're still going to be on her wings, and then she drops them, and they're freaking out. But that freaking out causes them to spread their wings and start trying. And all of a sudden, they find out, oh, wait, we can do this. We don't have to sit in that nest that keeps getting tighter and tighter and tighter because of the thorns that the mama eagles keep putting in the nest. To make it uncomfortable for them, to make it a place that they can't be there forever. This is our turn to fly. This is that shock to your system and shock to my system to start flying with the Lord.
You know, sometimes when God faces us with this sort of incredible plan or destiny that He has for our life, it is, as Assam said, a shock to our system. And my question to myself is, or was today, is what is ordinary in me that God wants to become more than that, that God wants to take into his own plan, that what that causes me to like really question, that causes me to really fear and buckle down. And sometimes the very thing that God is using in your life, the very thing that's very, very ordinary in your life that God wants to use, is the exact thing you don't want him to use because it terrifies you to think of the change or to think of the uncertainty or to, can you imagine Mary, first of all, just seeing the angel, she knew something was about to change, something dramatic was about to happen. So if you're in that place where God's speaking to you about something that you think is just run of the mill and ordinary in your life, and he's ready and wanting to launch you into something much much bigger than you ever imagined, then be ready and be willing, because the extraordinary transformation is about to take place here for Mary. It says Mary was greatly troubled by his words in verse 29, and wondering what kind of greeting this might be. So the angel told her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be named Jesus. He will be great, and we will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever."
You know, the first good step of our extraordinary transformation is that we treat this moment with fear, but not the fear that will drive us away, the fear that will keep us humble, the fear that will make us stay on, like, okay, this sounds really good, but there is no way for me to do this. I need your help. I need you to help me through this. I need you to walk me through this. And the first thing that God says, just as he said it to Joshua, as he said it to Moses, as he said it to everyone, fear not. It feels like every Bible study we go through, this verse comes up one way or another. Fear not. And that tells me that God is trying to say something to us. This is a good thing. That doesn't mean we're cowards. That doesn't mean that we're, you know, that doesn't mean that we're less. It means that we're human. It means that we are dependent on God. And that's a good thing. It becomes dangerous when we don't depend on God, or it becomes dangerous that our fear cripples us and drives us away from the things that God has for us. So he says, fear not. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Doubling down on that favor thing. Really? Yes, you have found favor with God. And if the angel is doubling down, I'm doubling down too. That we have found favor with God. That God is looking at us right now with a big smile and say, look at my children, you know, sitting in LA or Norwalk or here or there, gathering together on a Wednesday night, you know, during the holidays, but they still made it. They still got together. They're still talking about me. Not only talking about the Christmas lights, but talking about the reason for the season, talking about who I am. Look at this. Look how much growth they have done. Look how far they've gotten and how far God smiles when we're gathered with his name. God smiles when he looks at you and looks at me. So you found favor with God. The angel tells her again, why did I find favor with God? I don't see anything special in me. Just wait a second. Wait a second. Wait a second. Because that humble heart of yours, God saw it, and then you will bring fruit to this world that no one has ever brought before. You will bring what the world needs. You will bring Jesus to this world. And by the way, this is not only to Mary. This is for all of us. We can take Jesus tomorrow to work. We can take Jesus tomorrow to our neighbors. We can take Jesus tomorrow to everyone we can meet. And guess what? The world needs him and needs him badly. And you're not just going through an extraordinary transformation, but you also will witness something extraordinary in your life. Behold, you will conceive and give a birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will conceive. I'm not married to Joseph yet. We're not talking about Joseph. We're not talking about Joseph. You're not, because if you marry Joseph, you're just gonna have a son. It will be whoever, James, the out of the house of David. But no, I want you to have a son who will be the father or the king or the God of David. You will conceive. You will conceive. Something will happen today. Something will happen to you today internally that only you will feel, because it's coming straight from God. And as you feel it inside of you, it will be transformed to the outside, and others will see it as well. So you will conceive. You will have something happening in your heart today. Something will click with you today, and you will give birth to a son, which will be a fulfillment of the Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. The maiden is with the child, and she will bear a son and will call him Emmanuel. You're going to fulfill a prophecy. You're going to deliver to this world exactly what this world needs. Can I say that one more time? You will deliver to this world exactly what this world needs. The world does not need a new president. The world does not need someone to create peace in the Middle East. The world does not need another physician. All of these are great, but the world really needs Jesus. Because without Jesus, every chaotic thing that we're going through is only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. Just prepare for it. But when we bring Jesus into the equation, things will look completely different. You will name him Jesus. God saves. That's the meaning of Jesus. God saves. Oh, so is God going to save us from the Romans? No, because you know what? Other kings saved you from other nations. Joshua saved you from other nations. David saved you from other nations. Samson saved you from other nations. Jehoshaphat, all of these kings. Go read 1 Kings and 2 Kings and 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. A king comes, lives for 20 years, 40 years. He does what's right in the Lord's sight, and he kicks all of the enemies out. And then another one, a king comes, does evil in the sight of the Lord, and all of their enemies defeat them. And it's a cycle. It keeps going. But now it's still going until now. Dina just said that, you know, it's still going until now. But you will give us a you will name him Jesus, which means God saves. He will save you from sin. The biggest problem that we are all facing isn't another country, isn't the boss at work, isn't the neighbor, isn't the economy. The biggest sin we have is sin. And Jesus is coming to save you from this sin. He will be great. He is the definition of greatness. Everything that he will do in his in your life will exceed your expectations. What no eyes has seen, what no ears have heard, what the Lord has prepared for us. That's the greatness of Jesus. And it talks about the Israelites that you have done unimaginable things that we could not, miraculous things that we could not even imagine. That's what Jesus does. That's the greatness of Jesus, that he will do things that no one, great things that no one could do. Not the things that he will do, but he will be great. He is the definition of greatness himself. Not the miracles, not the things he'll do, but he is the definition of greatness. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. That's what makes him different. He is the Son of God that is coming to represent God on this earth. So it's not all, it's not a word of man. He was coming to show us exactly what God intended for you and I to do after Adam's fall. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. Remember what we were just saying a second ago? This king comes, he governs or for 20 years, 40 years, and then the nation goes back. With Jesus, there is no end to his reign. There is no end to his kingdom. There is absolutely no end to the things that he can do in your life and my life. If you want a definition of eternal life, here's a very, very, very simple definition. Jesus. Jesus is the definition of the eternal life. The life that God intended for all of us. Right.
It says, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He's coming to save and deliver, right? This is not anything that Mary probably would have thought of when she thought that the angel was coming to speak to her. He's giving her a promise of being involved in a situation that is going to change history forever. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. He's coming to deliver and to give eternal life. Here's Mary now, her response in verse 34. How can this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Look, even Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age. She who was called barren is in her 6th month, for no word from God will ever fail. And Mary responds, I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me according to your will.
So, I love how Mary was very, like, a lot of times we think our Christian walk with God is based on completely just eliminating our mind and eliminating our brains and thoughts, but that's not the case ever. You know, she tells him, she asks the question, how can that be? I am a virgin. She's asking questions, and it's good to ask questions. That is impossible. You know, Mary was not in one of those mountaintops, like, you know, everything is great, everything is beautiful, praise the Lord, and, you know, let's live. No, she wants a plan. How is that going to happen? How is that going to happen? There is no way for me to do that. I am a virgin. I haven't been with anyone. And even if I'm with someone, I'm going to be with Joseph, and our kid, I'm sure he's going to be great. I'm sure he's going to be a star, but he's not going to be that great. You know, I know we love our kids to death. Like, we talk about them day and night, but I cannot tell you that the rain is going to rain forever, or their kingdom is going to rain forever, or they will, you know, I can't say that. You know, I can come close, but it's not going to be to that extent. So she asked a very valid question that tells me that she is aware of the situation and she wants to take that next step. And it's good for us to ask those questions. It's good for us to question and come up with a plan. How am I going to overcome these weaknesses I have? How am I going to be a blessing to my family? How am I going to, what should I do? What can I do? You know? It's good to come up with a plan. It's good to sit down and maybe write things or ask for someone to keep you accountable to things. That is actually not against the word of God. You know, when you hear an encouraging word, it doesn't mean it's just gonna suddenly happen. There are steps to take, you know. So the angel tells her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit, that means the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will join forces with you. The Spirit of God will be with you, will come upon you. This pregnancy, this new unity is not going to be based on or come from your own strength or somebody else's strength. It's gonna come, but when the Spirit of God opens your eyes, when the Spirit of God opens your heart, when you surrender to the Spirit of God and say that, here I am, do it, whatever it is that you want to do in my life. You need the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's not just one time, it's a continuous action. When you're at work, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're at home, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're in the car, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're in the gym, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Wherever you go, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This is not going to be about your strength or anybody's strength anymore. This is God's power. This is God's work, and He will deliver it. He said it right now. He is able to deliver it. Are you going to say what Mary said? I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it happen to me according to your word. Then the angel left her. Then, as soon as she surrendered, as soon as she obeyed, now it's no longer the angel and Mary. It's God and Mary. And at that moment, she conceives and she is pregnant with baby Jesus. Did you see the picture in the beginning? I don't think any of us live as humbly as Mary did. I'm not sure if you know this or not, but we live in a very privileged life here in the United States. We live in a very privileged life. I don't know if you know this, but in the 1500s, the Queen of England did not have the toilets that we have here. It didn't exist. And she didn't have it. Life was tough back then. Can you imagine what life looked like for this teenage girl that lived in this no-name city in a no-name region, very poor region, under the control of the Romans? Life for her was less than ordinary. But she had a visitation. She had a conversation, and she believed, and she surrendered. Surrender is the theme of our year. And she surrendered. And God took that less than ordinary young lady and gave through her salvation to the whole world. You know, today these are not just words. It's a reminder. It's a reminder of what God can do in our lives. It's a reminder that God, what God can do in your life. God can take this very ordinary day. God can take this gonna be what's gonna be a very ordinary tomorrow, and very ordinary person, very ordinary job, very ordinary neighborhood, very ordinary family, very ordinary conversation. And if we just let him, if we just let the Holy Spirit overtake us, Jesus will come up. And trust me, he is what the world needs. I am praying today that you would have that meeting with God, that he is looking down on you right now, not as a judge, not with an angry face that blaming you and shaming you, but he is looking at you with a with favor, that he loves you so very much. I pray that you would meet yourself, but not the person that you've been looking at in the mirror, but the person that God has been looking at, the highly favored person, the highly loved person that God has been after for years and years, loved enough that he would give up your his son for you. And I pray that you would meet Jesus today. Meet the Holy Spirit today that can empower you and impregnate
Pregnant.
you with Jesus. And let Jesus flow out of your life. Let Jesus flow out of your words. Let Jesus flow out of your thoughts and see the world, your world changing. See your world changing as soon as you let Jesus come out of your heart.
None. All right, everyone. So that was Mary. Let's open it up for some comments and questions and conversation, please.
You said earlier that God wanted to introduce Mary to the Mary, or something along those lines. Could you explain that a bit?
Yeah, because in this world, in this what we're living in, the world is really good and putting us in a place that is completely different than what God has for us, not the vision that God has for me. When God created me, he created me for great plans, great purpose. He looks at me and he says that this is a warrior. She is a warrior. God created us for great things, great purposes. But because of where we are, because of our circumstances, because of the sinful world we live in, because of the enemy who's always pounding in our thoughts and our heads and putting us down, we lost track of that picture that God has for us. And some of us never even had that picture. Not some of us never even had that image. You know, I'll tell you a funny story. When Dina and I got together, and she draw this, you know, little what is it called?
Sketch.
Yeah, sketch, you know, of me leading an army, you know. And during that time, Pastor Alan and Delia know, like, I was really struggling in this country. I was new to this country. I was really, really struggling. And I'm like, what is that she's drawing? I am no leader. I am no general. I am no army. I am no soldier. I am nothing of these things. But God used her to draw that picture of me. God used her to introduce me to the picture that he has in mind for me. That's what I meant, that God has a great picture for all of us. And he wants you to meet you, but not the you that you've been used to, but the you that he sees in his plan, with his work, after he's done his work with you.
Amen.
So it's amazing that God used Dina to help bring God's truth, his light, his vision, his dream for you. How, what's a good practical way for us to get God's perspective and not so much our own perspective or the world's perspective?
To me is be around people who see God and hear from God. Because if I'm seeing from God and hearing from God, I know exactly who my brother is. I'm not gonna judge my brother because of his gray hair or because of because his hip gave out while he was sleeping. That was me, by the way. You know, I am going to see that my brothers and my sisters here are mighty warriors. I'm going to see God's thoughts for them and I'm going to deliver it to them because I know He wants me to. The problem is we take ourselves from this kingdom, from the surroundings where we're supposed to hear who we are. And go to a place where the enemy is so good at telling us and using people to tell us who we are in his mind. So my practical way is to surround myself with godly people, with God's word, to surround myself with the things of God, where I am in the presence of God, presence of believers, presence of the Holy Spirit, presence of the word of God, that will always remind me of who I am.
If I can add also, I think a practical way is reading God's word and applying it to me. Reading what he says about, when I first became a believer, I would sometimes go into my word and things that the Lord said, you know, for I care for you as dear children, I would cross that out and put He cares for Dina as a dear child, or he cares for me as a dear child. I would personalize God's word to me because then at the end of the year, after you've done all your reading, you can kind of go back and see all of the things that God has said to you and about you and really recognize that it's a beautiful love letter, really directed at us.
I think that also takes the work of the Holy Spirit to make it personal for us. It's not by our own brain power or pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps. I think it really is the word surrender, the theme of the year. Surrendering to the Holy Spirit and asking Him to bring clarity and understanding so that that can become real. Because when it's just theory, it doesn't help too much. I think Maria was going to say something.
Thank you,
I was
Sandra.
talking about angels.
Oh.
How many angels do we have on the Bible, or do we have only one angel? That it's right here, the angel Gabriel. Do we have any more than angel Gabriel?
We have a lot of angels, but the Bible talks about Gabriel, it talks about Michael, right? Like the ones that are mentioned by name, but there's a countless number of angels that you know that exist, right?
Pastor Al, you
And
want to?
how about if you have a friend or just someone that makes a lot of favors, that he's always there for you? Because in Spanish, when we have someone like that that always help you, we call it you're like an angel to me. It said, you know, could people be angel to your life?
God can use people who are filled with the Holy Spirit to bless your life. You know, the promise came earlier to Abraham that I will bless you and you will become a blessing. You know, as God is blessing us, whether it's financially or with health or with word of wisdom or spiritual gifts, that we need to take these blessings and share them with someone else. So it's not really coming from me, it's coming from God because God gave me this gift and I'm sharing it with someone else, and I'm sharing it with my brothers and sisters. So I'm not necessarily being an angelic being, but being filled with the Holy Spirit, the work of God, and I'm just giving it. So it's a message from God. It's a delivery on behalf of God. It's something that God gave me to give my brothers and sisters. I'm not sure if that's that answers your question or not.
Yes.
There are a host, an untold number of angels, and a third of those angels, when they fell, when Lucifer rebelled in heaven, you can go back and read about this in Isaiah 14, and the book of Ezekiel too. A third of them became demons. So there are way more angels than we can ever imagine, and there are angels around us. But the way that I saw him really explain this was really nice. God uses people who are filled with his Spirit and puts his kindness through them. And so we just do things that are considerate for one another. And so I guess you can label that as, you know, an angelic kind of act or something, but ultimately it's the heart of God being expressed through one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when accidents happens, like when my Marcelo had an accident at work, that a humongous gate, you know, at like at 4:30 in the morning fell on top of him in the middle of downtown. No one was there. But he kind of saw someone. And he said that he only saw him one time. He helped him. He called 911. And he said that that was like an angel to him because that guy helped him. So that's why I was just thinking, maybe, you know, you could call someone that he was an angel to me. But thank you for explaining.
God definitely has that had that person at that place at that right time to help Marcelo. Whether this was an actual human being or an actual angel, which it could be, by the way, there is nothing in the Bible that would say that this couldn't be. This could be a fact. The fact it's what matters most is not who helped. Was it a man or was it an angel? What matters most is that God was watching over Marcelo. See, a lot of times, and this happens often, especially in traditional churches, we keep our, and I'm not trying to point the finger at any church specifically or anything like that. We take our eyes of the giver of the gift to the deliverer of the gift. You know, imagine when I get the Christmas gift that I know I'm going to get, you know, and Dina gives me that Christmas gift. Am I going to go thank the mailman or I'm going to thank Dina for giving me that gift? You know, you're so right. That gift that Marcelo had, that was God saving. Yeah. That was God caring for him. It wasn't, you know, God used that person. And if that person exists, we will all thank him, and we'll even invite him to our brunch, you know, someone we know. Absolutely, because he did something kind and something good for someone we love, you know. But the point here is that we need to thank God for what he did to Marcelo, using an angel, using a person, it doesn't matter. What matters is that God was caring for Marcelo that time.
Thank you for that. Now we got it. Yes.
Good.
The story is for him.
That's right. Anyone else? All right. Well, good timing, Wednesday night Bible study. It's almost exactly 8:00.
I would take from this Bible study, honestly, Anna, what I thought about this morning, and what I thought about now and when we were preparing is, I am no longer going to be upset with my ordinary. I am no longer going to be upset with that things are just, you know, things, you know, because God can come and use. And because God looked, and I mean, we were we were thinking of going through the Song of Mary and how she was singing that how God looked at her humble heart, at her ordinary position, and blessed it. So I am no longer going to be upset or look down on myself or look down on my situation. I'm actually going to be happy and satisfied where God has me, because no matter where I am, God can put Jesus in the equation and turn my life upside down.
Amen.
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 So celebrate Christmas the right way this season. You know, we were supposed to say that last time. Celebrate Christmas the right way this season. You know, that turns something ordinary in your life. Give it to God and watch Him do something extraordinary, and let this season be a kickoff of something new in your life. It doesn't end in December. It doesn't end in January, but it keeps on going. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Pastor Mike, can you pray for us? Because I haven't seen you.
Your voice is not available. Yes, sir.
There he is. Pastor Mike is always available.
I'm here. Heavenly Father, we honor you. We glorify you, Lord. And we just thank you, Father God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your message, Lord, your message of love, of peace, of joy. Father God, we thank you that you take the ordinary and you turn it into extraordinary, Lord. And Father, I just pray, Father God, for revival in our hearts, revival in our homes, revival in our churches. Revive on our communities, this city, this country, Lord Jesus. Father God, for repentance, an open heart, a heart of surrender, Lord Jesus. And Father God, we just give you all honor and all glory, Lord. We thank you for your move, your touch, Father God. We thank you for your truth. We love you and we honor you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Thank you. Thank you.